Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a weekly podcast of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, hosted by Melissa Burney. The training required for the future workforce in the automotive industry to support the convergence of technologies needs to begin before students enter the workforce. We need to engage students of all ages by helping them understand that the automotive industry is and will continue to be vastly different than that of their parents. When educating them about technology and the opportunities available to them, we need to be interactive and fun. Enticing them to work in this field is going to be critically important. Here with us today is Elena Farnsworth, CEO of Mobile Comply, a Michigan-based, woman-owned firm recognized internationally as a training company specializing in connected and autonomous vehicles and automotive security, cybersecurity. Elena and I will discuss the upcoming ITS event in San Jose on June 13th and more. Elena, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I'd like to first start by having you help our audience learn a little bit about Mobile Comply. We know that you're a Michigan-based, woman-owned firm. Can you tell us a bit about what your firm does, the industry verticals that you work with, maybe how you got started?
Sure. I would love to do that. Our firm is a firm that specializes specifically in educating professionals and the future workforce in connected and autonomous vehicle. It's a very specific and specialized field. We began 7 years ago when we recognized that there was a tremendous need for training in this space, because what we've got going on in the mobile industry is automotive, telecommunications, software, hardware, transportation, cybersecurity is all they're all converging at once to make one industry of connected and autonomous vehicle. So when you think of how this really looks, it's quite overwhelming to the workforce that's either already working in it or looking to get into this industry, and also to the human resources and the recruiters that are looking to find that and develop that workforce. So we have a niche specialty in which we provide certifications such as the SAE International Credentialing Program, all the way to focus tracks, which may include very small components, like which are large in the industry, cybersecurity or cyber physical systems, or what we're talking about today, which is high school programs, where we actually train the future workforce of America to be able to support this very large and growing industry.
So it sounds like there's a lot of great opportunity in this space.
There is. You know, one of the big conversations, and I believe that you asked me how we got started. My background, 10 years in the industry of connected vehicle, that began in the emergency response sector, because albeit many people think that this is a new industry because all of this is converging quite rapidly right now, and between the year 2015 and 2020, there's such a massive change that people really are beginning to hear these buzzwords everywhere. However, this has been around for 50 years. I was actually working in connected vehicle and emergency response back in the late 90s and before, where safety is a critical factor and a critical reason for the connected vehicle, and transportation professionals getting involved in providing safety mechanisms to be able to analyze data in the beginning or during an accident. How can ADAS systems that are in vehicle be able to have better warning systems to avoid crashes and to prevent crashes? These safety features are what's driving even more so the industry to evolve today. So again, we started in safety. We support the safety, and we train on how to make these technologies work together for a safer driving experience.
Perfect. And thank you so much for sharing a little bit of the history. That was something that I hadn't heard. And it's nice to know that when people are thinking about it, they're thinking like, oh my gosh, this is totally new. It's going to change how we do things. Instead, we get an opportunity to understand that, hey, this is something that's been evolving and has gradually been coming to light. So there's a lot of years of research behind it that's moving this trend forward. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, and as you know from being in the mobile industry, just to support that thought, what really made this grow, if you remember before the times of the smartphones and before the times of the instant information right now on your fingertips all the time, there was a little bit of a challenge to get to your computer to send an email or to get to a phone that was traditionally stuck to a wall to make a phone call. And then when the evolution of the smartphone really took over, what happened is people recognized and realized the importance and the power of data. So that's really been able to fuel this industry, because not only do people recognize and desire and require that they're able to get information right away, but the infrastructure such as cellular and such as the availability of signals to be able to use your cell phones have also included benefits to allow the connected vehicle to emerge quite quickly. So again, this has been a lot of different industries playing several different roles to make this move quickly, but the technologies are sound in principle because they have been around for a long time.
That's a great point. Speaking of initiatives, let's talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that are happening here in Michigan. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those initiatives as they relate to the connected autonomous vehicles? I mean, we kind of already have started. And then can you share maybe a couple of projects or at least one project that you're free to give us some specifics about that Mobile Comply is involved with?
Oh, sure. Michigan really has a great advantage here. We have a tremendously active Department of Transportation. MDOT has been held accolades for years and years about being a leader in connected vehicle. We have the largest live implementation. We had 45 at the beginning of this year, I believe was the last time that I checked the statistics. As of, you know, early 2016, there was 45 active projects in Michigan, which, you know, the next active project was the California, which had 30, and then there were 15 to the ones after that. So the Department of Transportation here in Michigan really knows what they're doing from an infrastructure perspective. They have a lot of heavy truck and fleet management initiatives that are going on here in the state. We also have currently Mobile Comply is involved in three projects that I can share right now and then some that I cannot. But we are the epicenter of connected vehicle when it comes to automotive as well as infrastructure deployment. What three of the projects that I would specifically like to mention is we launched with the Connected Vehicle Trade Association and the Society of Automotive Engineers, which is they're both internationally recognized organizations. We launched the very first Connected Vehicle Professional Credentialing Program with them, which is a program that allows 100 hours of training for professionals that want to be certified and credentialed by an international engineering organization in the connected vehicle space. Now that is extremely exciting because that shows that Michigan is very in the international epicenter of this industry and the training to support the future workforce. The second project that I would like to mention, which we'll expand on a little bit later in our conversation, is we are very heavily involved in ITSA, which is the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society of America. They are, I said that S wrong, but the ITSA, they are a supporting body of many of the transportation professionals nationally. So they support the DOTs across the nation in providing services and quality information for their constituencies. They have recognized the tremendous need for not only workforce of today, but the future workforce of tomorrow. So as I was speaking to the CEO, Regina Hopper, a few weeks ago about what are some, you know, or a few months ago, pardon me, what are some of the things that you're seeing? And she says, you know, there's very few conversations that I have where people don't say we have a deficit right now in technology staff and qualified individuals, but also in the future. This is not new just to transportation, though. Everything that you read and many of the statistics that you'll see, I was part of a a consortium at Kettering University, which is a fabulous engineering local university, and they had participants from all over the U.S. that discussed and talked about the growing need for engineers in this sector to be able to understand all of the different capabilities that are necessary. And with that said, we responded by partnering with another local organization called Square One, that they specifically provide kits to high school students and have been doing this for years to be able to support and to actually have high school students build platooning cars in a workshop format. So we, with our curriculum and with our running, are taking the workshop on the road, for lack of a better term. We're taking students from Michigan that we have trained and that we have shown that they can build platooning cars by creating 3D printed vehicles. Then they actually program the chips and the hardware and the software inside the vehicle, and then they transmit data between vehicles to one another and to infrastructure. We will be taking them to ITSA this year to support the future workforce of tomorrow and to show that the children need to be ready to be able to embrace these new opportunities. So those are just two of the projects we have going on. And there's probably about 10 more that I could talk about. For in interest of time, I'm gonna move to the next point.
And the next point is something you've already talked about a little bit is talent. You know, like you mentioned, we do hear over and over and over again that we don't have enough people to fill the jobs, or they don't have the training to fill the jobs that are available. I've talked with Linda Deschent, MTAM CEO about this. What can we do to correct this? And I think part of that is, so you mentioned engaging these students. How do we get them excited about these opportunities and get them to understand how critically important this field is?
One of the challenges that we continue to face, and again, you know, sometimes you have to take a realistic view of what's going on. And historically, what we've seen is when you introduce new programs into an educational community, it takes quite some time to get the approval process for it to go fully into effect. One of the challenges that we will face, just from an educational perspective, is because this industry is moving very quickly, I truly believe, and it is my perspective, that we need to have partnerships between universities, all higher education, certification and credentialing programs, as well as high schools and even into the elementary schools, to be able to not only train them and have them graduate with degrees or with technical certification, but also to get the latest update in the industry. Because if you think about cybersecurity, let me take that as an example, and then I'm going to answer the second part of the question. If you look at cybersecurity, the cybersecurity threats of today are not the cybersecurity threats of tomorrow. That are open to infrastructure as well as in-vehicle technologies that will change every day. Every few months, you will need to have a greater grasp and understanding of what's going on in the market. Although some forms of education exist currently in higher education, in order to keep up with that and to give those students in a four-year period the overall understanding of what's really going on in the market, we're either going to have to move faster or we're going to have to create partnerships where there are smaller, digestible pieces for students and parents alike to understand how quickly things are moving. That is a problem that we face. However, we can use this as an opportunity because we can look at these children that are in, and honestly, high school, frankly, is too late. We need to start teaching the teachers. We need to start teaching the principals. We need to start teaching the counselors that automotive is no longer about the automotive of the 1960s and 70s. Automotive is a highly interactive field of technology that is emerging into a completely different market, and it's exciting because if we can't explain to the teachers what it is, they can't explain it to the students, and that is something that we have to address quickly and give them resources to figure this out.
Well, in some of the things that you talked about, you know, the kids using the 3D printers, getting engaged, participating in some of this stuff, or, for example, FIRST Robotics, you know, these people that, you know, the parents put their time and their effort into helping these kids understand and build robots so that they have that learning and they're getting excited. Like, oh, my gosh, look at this. This is really great. It's a great point. We really have to start with the teachers so they can educate the kids. The kids understand and then can branch out from there.
You know, and it's incredibly exciting. I have always been a full believer in giving back to the community and working where we can to help students that are interested in the science and technologies, or even those that don't even know they're interested or have a high propensity to be great in math. You know, those are the students we look out for. 2 years ago, I'll never forget, there was a gentleman, we sponsored a group of students to come in that were from the Detroit area. We brought them in and we taught them programming and technologies. And we see this in the kids that we're doing right now in the programs for the connected vehicle as well. But what we're seeing is the kids will come up, and this young man came up to me and said, "Ms. Farnsworth, you changed my life because I had no idea that this was a part of mobility and that I could actually program something that could do stuff that was this cool." Because it is cool. Automotive is cool. User interfaces are cool. Software development is cool. All of the coolness that they're looking for is right at their fingertips, and they get it. We just have to tell them where to go.
Absolutely. Give them that gentle guidance and let them do the rest.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit more about the ITS. Can you tell us what that stands for? And then talk a little bit more about the laboratory event. For example, one of the questions I have is, how did you really get involved in making this lab available for the conference?
Well, that to me was not really very much of a challenge because it's a no-brainer. What we found, or let me explain a little bit about the V2X lab. ITSA historically has been the association and the society that has come together and really supported growing of the infrastructure that we drive on. It is making sure that the traffic keep us safe and making sure that the roads are built properly and making sure that all of the planning and things that go into intelligent transportation systems and these complex systems are there and are supported. But ITSA in 2016 reinvented their annual conference, and they are showcasing the future of intelligent transportation systems. They are showcasing that it's not only about building the streetlight today. It's about building the infrastructure and the sensors and the interactivity and being able to analyze the data. And it's the ability to have the future of intelligent transportation system. That's what the 2016 San Jose is about. And so in discussions with the CEO and with the community at large and the people that are working in intelligent transportation system, the Department of Transportation, JPO, has just this year awarded numerous grants and a lot of money to transportation industries, city planners, and cities, and they called it the Smart City Challenge. And it was all about, let's plan the smart city of tomorrow. So again, what we're seeing in the transportation industry is that they're very aware of what is going on. And ITSA this year, we're going to talk to our constituencies about what they're interested in and what is important to them, which is not the transportation of the past. They've got that. They've been working in that for a very long time. we got to meet them at the door of the new intelligent transportation system. So as I was reading through the documentation of the event, my wheels start turning, and we started discussions with people in the industry saying, hey, what are some problems you're having? And we continuously heard talent. Who do we hire to do these implementations? How can we find the support to plan these cities? What is SPAT? What is the signal controls that we need to use? How are we going to take and retrofit our fleet vehicles that need to go and assess potholes in the road? I'm close to home now. Need to be able to measure how far apart they are, where the work points. How can we use some of these latest technologies and install antennas and onboard units and infrastructure to figure this out in a more intelligent way? And this is where ITS is going. This is where intelligent transportation systems are going, and they're asking for workforce to support it. So with that, again, the fantastic organization Square One has been doing high school programs for many, many years. They do robotics, underwater robotics, and they have some fabulous kit cars that they use because Mobile Comply does a lot of training, and so does Square One. And collectively, we're able to really show a strong partnership that includes instruction, but also the hands-on, and also the students working with the teacher. So I spoke with Carl, which is the CEO there, and we said, let's take our Michigan students out to San Jose, and let's bridge this gap between the technologies that we've already got going on here in Michigan, and let's take them out to California, and let's put our Michigan students with San Jose students. So then we were introduced to the mayor of San Jose, and the mayor of San Jose said, this is exactly what we're asking for. This is exactly what we need. Our problem is we're going to have to cap the number of students that wants to participate. So our biggest challenge has been containing the excitement, which is not a bad thing to have. So
it's not a bad thing to have.
Yes.
Sorry. But wait a second. So for capping the talent, so you've got, this group from coming from Michigan, you've got this group from San Jose. How are you going to let other students know that there are these opportunities and they exist? How are they going to see these other students participating and saying, hey, I want to be a part of that?
Oh, goodness. We're not capping the talent. We're capping the program this year. We intend and plan to have this be a nationally recognized and funded event on an ongoing basis. My hope is that we can train every student that wants to be trained in these technologies. What we are doing is what we feel. If we have we have a very strong presence here in Michigan. We're taking it out to San Jose, and we are going to be televising this. This is a national community that come together in San Jose. It's not a small event. It is a very large annual event. And we are going to be televising the results. We're going to be meeting with some very large influential people at the event who are extremely excited. The keynote is from the Linux Foundation this year, and they're extremely excited about the excitement from the students. We are putting the students in a press conference to talk about why they got engaged, why they thought it was important, how excited they are, and then do they want to continue to pursue these careers in this field? And the overwhelming majority is yes, they do. And so we're going to continue to grow this. This is really the first launch of the inaugural event, which is just this year. And we are hopeful that we can continue to grow this because that will help with the awareness factor that is an overwhelming problem at this point.
Absolutely. So you've heard the phrase that Silicon Valley, becoming the new Detroit, things like that. With all of the energy, so example, our Michigan students are going out to California and are going to be working with those students. Can you give us some thoughts about Silicon Valley and the possibility of them becoming Detroit, being that we have such a strong foothold in this industry?
Well, forgive me for being candid, but Silicon Valley does not aspire to be the next Detroit. It is not the same type of development cycles, and I truly believe that with the collaboration of all of the people in this industry, including Silicon Valley, has a very strong software presence. They have Google. They have Tesla. They have a lot of assets that, frankly, Detroit will not be able to replicate. But in the same respect, Detroit has a, and Michigan in general, has a very strong position that they, that California is not trying to or want to replicate. When I'm asked this question often on stage, what I will say is this is an international problem. This is an we have China. They are developing their own standards, and they're developing their own infrastructure. They're developing their own way to intelligent transportation. Germany, Europe, they are doing the same. India, they are also in the planning stages of developing their own transportation. So this is a global initiative that must be embraced by all. This is not a war. There is so much to go around here with. This is billions of dollars of industry that will come to light in the next 20 years. And I don't see this as a competition. I see this as an opportunity to collaborate and find our very strong strength together, and then to be able to offer help for both sectors. Again, I don't see it as a competition in any way. I see that. I will say, though, we must, as Michigan, if we want to continue to be leaders, we must hold on to our leadership stance to date. We must say who we are. We must express how great we are of certain things. But again, I don't see it as a competition in any way. We are automotive. We have the largest automotive manufacturers in the world. When you go to China and you talk to them about, hey, we're from Detroit, we're from Michigan, oh, yeah, clearly, automotive. So, again, California will never be able to replicate what we do here, but I don't think they're trying to. I think they're trying to innovate in a way, and I think we're trying to innovate in a way that are completely complementary. I just – that's where – and again, this is my opinion, but you asked for it.
Indeed, I did. I think that you said it really well. And I think that I've asked that of a number of people. And I think that you're one that answered it. I can't say the best, but I like how you said that it's not a competition. It's an opportunity to collaborate, and it is an international issue. You know, my understanding
right.
is that, there are other people that are further ahead of us in this space. I think it's exciting. I think that there's lots of opportunity. I think that Michigan is very well positioned to take a lead, but in order to maintain that lead, they have to play friendly with the others, and they have to bring other experts in. And if we work together, it'll be better for everyone.
Well, as on an encouraging note, I am seeing that there are more collaborations recently from historically non-collaborative parties open up doors for conversation of consistency. So let's talk about interoperability testing. Let's not share proprietary information, but let's discuss with one another what's the best for us as a whole. So we are beginning to see that transition, which is very encouraging. And again, it's good for our future workforce. Because if we want our children to be involved in this industry long term, we have to have that confidence that Detroit is going to be a leader in connected and autonomous vehicle, and that our kids want to stay here and work because they have opportunities here in a great industry.
Absolutely. Very well said. Lena, I would really like to thank you for your time today. 30 minutes just is not enough to cover the wealth of your information. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. It's a pleasure to hear not only, you know, the factual information that you're so great at sharing, but just your opinions as well. You've been in the industry, and we really respect your knowledge. So thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing about how the event goes when you come back.
Yes, we'll look forward to telling you, and I appreciate again the opportunity to speak.
You're very welcome. Thanks. Did you know that MCAM is the first state-based mobile wireless industry trade association in the U.S., and that we're focused on increasing the demand for Michigan-based mobile wireless technology products and services, generating increased entrepreneurial and enterprise-level opportunities while creating sustainable jobs in Michigan? We are working very hard to help build Michigan's economy through the development of the mobile wireless technology industry throughout the state. To learn more or for more information on how you can be involved, visit gomobilemichigan.org or email us at info@gomobilemichigan.org. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Thanks so much for listening and have a fantastic weekend.